Welcome to another message from Systematic Theology, number 175. We're studying eschatology. And in the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, we have a beautiful vision of heaven itself. And then we have some judgment coming down upon the earth for the unbelievers. God has revealed himself to mankind in his creation by intuition, in other words, by your conscience and your soul. He reaches, he touches every man's conscience and soul. By special revelation through the prophets and by particular revelation through the Word of God. And we're studying the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation means the unveiling of Jesus Christ, how great and powerful and who he is. He is God the Son. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is all of the titles of Jehovah fulfilled in one. He is the Lord our healer. Now in the 15th chapter, verse number 1, I'll be reading this to you from the Greek text. And I'll use a few Greek words every now and then, but I want to bring it all across to you because there's some things in Greek here that are not in the English translation. And all my notes from my doctor's thesis are right here. In 15:1-8, we have the revelation of the throne of God, and we have the seven last plagues. The seven last plagues. Now, the book of Revelation tells us some horrible things are going to happen to this earth and to humankind. He's going to turn humans loose on humans for a while, and the devil loose on humans. The devil's going to have free access, and he's going to have a lot of glory during this time, but it'd be short-lived. And it says here, "And I saw another sign in the heaven." A great sign. The word great there is our word mega. And the word thaumaton. Thaumaton. That word means traumatic. It means trauma. It means frightening. It means astounding. It means wonderful. Full of wonder. Full of amazement. And it says seven angels having plagues. Plagos is the Greek word. Comes right into the English word plague. And it says the last seven plagues. Because in them shall be brought to the end the wrath of God, brought to fulfillment the wrath, the anger, the themos. We got a word thermos from this word here, bottled up anger, reserved for the devil and his angels and those God haters upon the earth. Verse number 2. And I saw, and here we go into the throne of God. And I saw as a sea glassy. A sea glassy, having been mixed with fire. And the ones overcoming from the killing machine, what it is, the Therio, the swift killing machine. This is the false prophet, the Antichrist and the beast, the swift killing machine, like a land shark, and from the idol of him, from his idol, and from the number of the name of him, having stood upon the sea, and the one glassy having harps belonging to God. Now, the foundation stone of the whole universe is what we're seeing here. And that foundation stone of the whole universe is a great big diamond. A great big diamond. And that diamond is reflecting the power and the glory of God. The power and the glory of God. It's not a common stone. But it is a a stone like sapphire, but a diamond, a blue diamond. There was a great diamond one time called the Blue Ocean. A big diamond. And this stone, this foundation stone of the throne of God and of the whole universe is here. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse number 25, Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse number 25, and Jesus spoke another parable to them. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. The enemy here is the devil. And the wheat are the children of God. And the seed is the word of God. And the sower is the son of God. And now we have another sower. Whatever God does, Satan imitates. Satan has more churches in this world than the Lord Jesus Christ does. And there's more believers in false religion in the world than truth. Benjamin Marcus Bogard one time said that a lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. And boy, how true that is. And while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares, false wheat, among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares also became evident. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, you did not sow good seed in your field, did you? How come do we have tares? How come we have darnel? And the master said to them, An enemy has done this, and the tares... And the slave said to him, Do you want us to go out and to gather them up, pull them out, pull the weeds out? And he said, No. Lest while you are gathering up the tares, you might root up the wheat with them, and they would. He said, Allow both to grow together until the harvest. Now the rapture is the main harvest, people. When that rapture takes place here at the end of the church age, the wheat are going to be taken up. And the tares are going to be left upon this earth. And then the tares will be burned with judgment and fire. Allow both to grow up together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, the sages reapers go gather up the tares and bind them and bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus said, I'm going away to build a house for you. I'm going to build a mansion for you. People talked about the cabin in glory land. Boy, it's not a cabin in glory land, people. It is a mansion. It is a mansion almost 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And he presented another parable to the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and it's smaller than many other seeds, but when it's full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. Now, mustard plants don't become a tree, do they, Marilyn? Do mustard plants become a tree?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. They don't.
No.
No, they don't. Mustard plant is a herb. But now this tree is an abnormality. It is a monstrosity, and that monstrosity is the devil's masterpiece. And then the birds of the air come and nest in his branches. Jesus is talking about the tares. And this mustard tree is a tare. It is false doctrine. And the birds, by the way, are the devil. The devil, the demons, came in and stole the wheat out of the field. And then it tells us another parable in verse number 33. And he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three packs of meal until it was all leavened. And the woman here is a figure of false religion. And the leaven is never a picture of anything good. It's false. You put leaven, and I made some sourdough bread for you, didn't I, Marilyn?
Yeah.
And I made some nut and raisin bread the other day, nut, raisin, and oatmeal bread. And all that bread, I put yeast, our sourdough starter, one or the other. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'd have just left that wheat and all that together there, it would have spoiled and been rotten by now, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. What did I have to do to stop the yeast from contaminating all of it? You have to bake it. All right? The only thing that stops yeast or leaven is baking it. And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, even not talking to them without a parable. These people, were not understanding everything about it. The disciples didn't understand everything about it. He said, why did the enemy go out and sow false wheat or weeds among the wheat? He said later on, the enemy is the devil. And right here, where we are, we're going to see the presence and the glory of God, and we're going to see God taking care of His people, and God burning the tares. It says, and they stood upon the sea. And now we have in verse number 3, we have the song of Moses sung. And they sang, and this word here is the word ode. It's an ode. It's a legend. They sang an ode. Remember, Marilyn, you told me that your grandmother and grandfather, your grandfather especially, used to sing odes to you, little tales. And they sang the song of Moses, the slave of God, belonging to God, and the song of the Lamb, the ode to the Lamb, saying, great and wonderful, great, megala, kai thamasto, great and wonderful, terrible, adoring. Men need to revere and fear God. We need to do that. God is great. The Muslims are always saying that. God is great. Allah is great. Allah Akbar. Allah is greater. But here we have the true. We have a true eulogy to God. The rest of verse number 3, in the works of you, the Lord, the God, the Almighty, God Almighty, that's El Shaddai, the one that's righteous and true, and the ways of you, and the King of the nations. The songs found in the book of Revelation are inspired worship songs. These are inspired worship songs. We talk about worship service and that today, and most of it is just to hype them up, like at a football game or something. These songs are really songs of adoration. Songs of adoration. Psalm 104, 105, and 106. These are all songs of adoration. Verse number 4. You have a wonderful story of salvation and the love of God. Who know not, he may fear the Lord, and he shall glorify the name of you, because only, you're the only holy, devout, merciful God. of all the nations, and they shall come, and they shall worship, they shall fall down and bend the knee to you. The Bible says in the Old Testament, one of the titles of God is the Merciful One. The Merciful One. The Kind One. And here God is the Kind One. The Merciful One. Chesed in Hebrew is the act of mercy. Chesed is the act of mercy. It is a practical application of God in that God is love. We see the judgment of God and we see the love of God on the other hand. And it's a down in the presence of you because of decrees. The dikaiomata, the decrees of you, they were made manifest. The ordinance of you, the acts of justice. The Old Testament, Psalm 16, verse 10, calls God the man of loving kindness. The Savior is the man of loving kindness. Chesed is translated 135 times as mercy. And Elios in the Septuagint. He is our Savior, merciful Savior, Jehovah. Verse number 5. And after these things meditate, I saw, and it was open up the shrine, the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. The real Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. And they came forth, the seven angels, the ones having the seven plagues out of the dwelling place of God, having been clothed in linen clean and bright, like a lamp, lampron. The word there is like, the word clean we get a word catharsis, or catharizo. The name Kathleen and Kathy come from this word. And I hope if you're named Kathy or Kathleen, that you're worthy of your name. Clean and bright, having been girded about, having been wrapped around the chest with golden girdles and golden wrappings. And one out of the four living beings, he gave to the seven angels seven bowls, seven golden bowls filled with the anger of God, bottled up fury. The God of eternity, the living God. The anger of the living God. It is a fearful thing to hands fall into the hands of an angry God. The anger of the living God, the living one, unto the ages of the ages, for all eternity. All of this takes place during the sounding of the seventh trumpet, or the last trump in tribulation period, not the church age. The first expression of wrath given is the theme is the seven seals in 6:1-17. Number 2, out of the seven seals come trumpets. Verses 8:1-13 and 9:1-21 and 11:15-19. Out of the seventh trumpet comes the last seven bowls of wrath. In 15:1 and 16:4-21. Bowls are used because of the context. They can be poured out quickly. It's not a bottled up wrath. A bottle, you have to turn it up and wait for it to slowly bloop, 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 bloop out, don't you? But a bowl, you can dump it all out at once, can't you? Just dump the whole thing out. Just throw it out. Just throw the throw the dishwater out all at once. In a bowl, the contents can be poured out quickly and thoroughly and suddenly. Suddenly. Number four introduces the bowl. Then after an intermission of a few verses, Revelation 16 shows how that they are poured out in quick and successive and sudden stages. Number five, a tribulation of 7 years is completed when the pouring out of the bowls of wrath is completed. Number six, the period ends with the return of Christ in battle, the Battle of Armageddon, and deals directly with the devil and his hordes. When God takes possession of the tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, this same thing happened, the great cloud and smoke of the glory of God. And it was filled the shrine with smoke out of the glory of the Lord and out of the power of Him, and no one kept on being able to enter into the shrine until it should be brought to an end, the seven plagues of the seven angels. The seventh bowl, or vile judgments of God, will entail these things. Number one, malignant sores, a plague, all of the unsaved who have the mark of the beast. Malignant sores, like in the book of Exodus, plagues the unsaved who have the mark of the beast and who have rejected God. The sea, number two, in the second bowl becomes as blood, and everything in it will perish, Revelation 16:3. Number three, the third bowl, there will only be blood like water to drink from rivers and springs, as in the days of Pharaoh, Exodus 7:14-25. Revelation 16:4-5. Number four, mankind will be scorched with intense fire and heat, Revelation 16:8-9. The fifth bowl, men shall gnaw their tongues in pain because of the intense pain and malignant sores upon them. Number six, demons are released upon the earth. There will be a preliminary grouping and mustering of troops and peoples for the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 16, 12 through 16. Number seven, the greatest earthquake ever known to man shall take place in Revelation 16 and verse number 18. Number eight, cities throughout the world will be devastated, Revelation 16 and verse 19. Every island and mountain shall be shaken down and moved out of their place. The whole axis of the earth shall change. Number 10, huge hailstones, 100 pounds each, shall fall, Revelation 16 and verse 21. This is a time, isn't it? This is quite a time. This is the time when men should be calling upon God, but many people will be hating God, fighting God for their last breath, and they'll be fighting God until they're thrown into the lake of fire. 15:1-8, we have a lot of story in there. We have a lot of events in there. We have a lot of things happen upon the earth. We look into heaven and we see the glory of God and the glory of the throne of God reflecting the power and His glory. We see the glory of the Lord so filled like smoke in the tabernacle.
There.
At the tabernacle had so much smoke in it the priest couldn't even see the minister. When Solomon's temple was dedicated, God took possession of that, and the smoke of His glory was so great and so thick that the people could not see one another. Nor could the priest see to minister. You don't want to go in this period of time, do you? There are many people today waiting in Hades to be judged the last time and thrown into the lake of fire. You don't want to be one of them. You want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you and forgive you and follow Him and let Him be the King on the throne of your life. Father, we send this message out for Your honor, for Your glory. Father, please use it to teach people's hearts and touch people's hearts. And I pray for my students all over the world that You touch them, that You comfort them with Your Word. Many, Father, are behind the Muslim curtains where they can't even say Your name, where they can't even openly worship You or pray. I pray for them most of all, Father. I pray for those in unhealthy places, dangerous places. And Father, I pray for those that are here and in other countries where they have some freedom to worship You. And let us always appreciate that, Father, where we are.